Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. It's episode 35. And as always, I'm your host, Rob Cope, and I'm sitting here with Dan Farrant. How's it going, Dan?
Doing well, thanks, Rob. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. It's been a bad week. I've been very ill.
Oh no.
I don't know. I got a temperature and a bug, and then the start. Oh man, it was gross. It was much worse than making it out to sound.
It
was actually paramedics and ambulances and all kinds of.
You're kidding?
No, I'm totally serious. But
well, oh wow! Well, did you go to hospital then?
Yeah, I did. I spent some time in hospital. I have a problem, which is that I'm very weak and feeble.
And, well, we knew that, but I didn't realize it was that serious.
Yes, so. It destroyed Yaz's podcast because Yaz Ahmed was going to be the guest.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, I know. but not to worry. The show must go on.
Yep.
So,
I hope you feel better.
Oh, well, thanks, Dan. And how are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Got one more gig and then it's Christmas is here.
Yeah.
Not as ill as you. I didn't go to hospital, but lost my voice. Which sucks, but
oh, that does, because then it's hard to work.
Yeah, but the show, like you just said, the show must go on.
It must.
Self-employed and all that.
Yeah, self-employed is brutal. Whole week of work, just poof.
Yeah.
See you later. Mm. Right. So let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
The news this week is first of all. We owe a big thanks to London Jazz News because they've been putting our podcast in the newsletter.
Oh.
I know. It's very kind of them. So that's cool. There's a new album out. I think it's new. Stan Saltzman Big Band, live at the Spotted Dog.
Oh, were you on it?
No.
Why?
Yeah, I don't. That's one of those. It's one of those gigs that comes under the category of if only James Allsop wasn't in London.
Okay, right, sure.
Because he is inevitably ridiculous. And it means that, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to...
How could we get rid of him?
That's what I'm just trying to postulate. Trying to, it's a problem. Even without Allsop, there's a few others, but he's a big problem right now. So if anyone sees James, feel free to let him know that the Jazz Podcast has got big time problem with him. Mm. What else have we got? Q Warren has a new solo album. I haven't heard that. I'd quite like to hear that.
Weren't you supposed to do a gig with him?
I did one once actually with Hugh Warren, but it was a long time ago.
You were supposed to do a gig this week, weren't you?
Oh yeah, that was with Chris and Hugh Morgan.
Oh, Hugh Morgan.
Yeah. And there's a cool...
I guess that's news that you had to pull out.
Yeah, big news. That really rocked the world of jazz. My God.
Oh, dear. Anything else to report?
There's a cool interview with jazz pianist Tom Miller on the LondonJazzNews.com website, having just finished his 20-day UK tour. Promoting his debut album, Unnatural Events, of which there is a Jazz Podcast preview album show, that band with Alex Monk. It says here that he has this bittersweet guitar tone. Misha Malova-Bardo on bass, Mike Clues on drums, responsive drumming, to be exact, and acclaimed singer Alice Sawadzki. But it's quite a cool interview because Tom's very... Tom's a thinker, you know. He likes to think about things,
yeah,
and then talk about what he thinks about them. Whereas I like to talk about things.
What he reckons.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen that Mitchell and Webb?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, you have to. I'll send you a link.
I quite enjoy this segment every week of you telling me things that I should have seen that I haven't seen.
Mm. It's like a comedy sketch.
Yeah.
They pretend to work for the BBC News. It's a funny thing. Google it. BBC Mitchell Webb. What I reckon. What
you reckon. Google it. So it's time for the interview, Dan.
Who's on this week then?
Well, I have bad news and good news. Because
what's the bad news?
The bad news is that...
Well, the bad news is I've lost you.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're back. Are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
You're back. You're He's back. Back. What's the bad news?
The bad news is that I don't have Yaz's interview because I was ill.
Oh, of course. You were ill.
Yeah. But the good news is you're the guest.
I'm the guest.
Mm-hmm. It's a perfect solution. I've got you right here. So today is going to be the Jazz Podcast Christmas special. Let's all get to know Dan Farron. Because, you know, we sit here, we talk every week. It's a brilliant idea. People are going to, no one, you know, we don't point a gun at people's heads. If they don't want to listen to this, they are very welcome to turn it off.
But I don't think anyone would want to listen to this.
Yes, they do, because they listen to you every week anyway. With, you know, some people know who you are and some people don't. So now we're going to give our lovely listeners the opportunity to learn all about the life and times of Dan.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm excited, Dan, because your life story is a very interesting one.
It's not really, though, am I?
It is.
Barely anything happened. I haven't done anything of note other than maybe, well, I can't really put starting a jazz podcast on it with you of note, can I? Oh, dear, we are a real mess today, aren't we?
It's a slow day. It's nearly Christmas. No, you're right. I don't think it's CV worthy, but nevertheless.
No.
So, no, we're going to do it. So,
right.
So,
well, it's a short one, at least.
All right. Good deal. I reckon we can condense your life into about 15 minutes. Oh, and the only thing about this that's Christmassy is that I've named it a Christmas special. Right, okay. I figured maybe next year we'll swap roles and I'll be the guest or something. Who knows?
But, yeah.
That can be the Christmas theme of the Jazz Podcast.
Yeah. What if we get to 3 years though and there's no more interviewers to do at Christmas?
I would like to think that my life could take up 10 or 11 Christmases. Like every year we'll just redo a show about me, even if it's pretty much the same as the last year. Okay. I would never get tired of a show about me.
Mm. Okay, great. Yeah.
I'm gonna do this differently there. I'm gonna take some guesses along the way rather than asking questions. So here's guess number one. You were born in Enfield.
Correct.
Sweet. You're younger than me, aren't you? What year were you born?
89. When were you born?
Yeah, 88. I believe I'm the same age as your lovely wife, Lydia.
Well, how old are you, Rob?
Actually, I know for a fact that I'm the same age as her because I know when it's her birthday.
She was born in 87, Rob, so
What?
I have to disappoint you. I think she's a bit older than you.
Oh, God. I'm 29.
She is currently 29. But okay, she's good. Almost 30.
Okay. We'd be in the same school year.
Yeah.
I can use that.
There you go.
All right. So, how is life?
Riveting stuff, isn't it? Riveting.
My God. You should see the viewing figures. They're going sky high. What's it like growing up in Enfield?
It was fine. Yeah, I quite liked it. The school I went to, Enfield Grammar School, had a really good music department, actually, which kind of inspired me to take up playing music properly. Lots of good teachers and also kind of other kids a similar age who were all good. It has quite an alumni, actually.
Tell me. So
who else went there? Well, I say quite an alumni. probably not, actually. Binker Golding went there. Binker and Moses, have you checked out him? He was a few years older than me.
No, I don't know who that is.
No.
More check homework him out. Required.
Sax player. We should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Who else? Well, we had loads of great teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned with Rian Vosloo.
What made you play the bass? I never understand how anyone chooses to play the bass.
Well, the bass or the double bass?
I don't know which came first.
Bass guitar,
right?
Came first. So yeah, I wanted to play the drums.
Right.
Mum refused to let me buy a drum.
Wow. That's
but
that's
yeah.
Shocking.
I've been learning piano since I was like seven or something. So
yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to do a new one, but drums were too loud. So
wow, that's tragic.
Yeah, I remember some kind of like Mexican Latin grooves band came and did an assembly, and I really liked the look of the bass guitar, so had a lesson. Well, oh, George.
Yeah, that was remarkable.
Nice meow,
though,
wasn't it?
That was he was really far away.
Oh, he really cooed there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's just woken up, so he's Yeah, he's like, what the hell?
Mm. Yeah.
I think he finds it weird when I talk into a metal box instead of talking to this warm furry
creature.
Does he
think you're talking to him?
No, he knows no. I'm ignoring him.
Okay.
And that's where the problem... That's what right. undermined Ruth Goller's show so badly. He just went ballistic.
Nice.
Right, so you're playing... So you just like the look of it. Do you like the sound of it, or are you just like, hey, that looks cool?
Yeah, I was like 11 or 12, so...
Right.
I think it was that one looks cool. And more importantly, the guy playing it looked cool.
That is important.
I think, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I started having bass guitar lessons. And then my teacher left and I didn't know what to do. And Rian showed up. So I ended up having lessons with him. But he's a double bass player. And I remember him saying, I can't really teach you bass guitar. I'm going to have to teach a double bass. So I was like, all right. And then double bass came around.
Nice. How old do you have to be to even play a double bass?
I think I started double bass when I was about 14, 15.
Yeah.
I think I got my first double bass when I was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what point then did you decide that... Well, like, what's the first jazz you heard? Because...
We used to play in like jazz ensembles at school, doing all, sea jam blues and all of those big band arrangements you do at school jazz band. I can't remember them now. But yeah, so I got really into playing that.
Hopefully when I was like 14, 15.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've just listened to them all there. Yeah,
the three tune repertoire of the teenage jazz musician.
Yeah, well, my dad still thinks there are only three jazz songs.
Excellent.
The Chicken, Take the A Train, and the other one, which is every single other jazz song.
Yeah.
Because apparently they sound all the same, but those are the only two he can figure out. But yeah, so that was that. Double bass. I remember I kind of wanted, I think I decided I wanted to be a musician when I was about going into A-level. Because that's when my grades started going down a lot. Because I would just be practicing and learning standards in chemistry A level lessons. Because I just didn't understand anything that was going on in chemistry.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have.
I think I got a D at AS level just because I wasn't at all paying attention. It was so difficult. It was much easier to sit and learn, write out standards.
You were more interested in D major 7.
Oh.
Damn! Oh my god! Yeah, big time. What A levels did you do?
Oh man, English, Lit, Chemistry, and Music.
Have they ever helped you?
Chemistry has not helped me. English Lit. I can tell you a little bit about Emma by Jane Austen. I guess.
Oh, I see. That's
that
nice.
Kind of comes handy.
That's funny, my sister had a baby yesterday called Emma.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Her.
Thank you. I'm
is this your first time being an uncle or
it's my fifth.
Fifth, okay, you're pro.
I've been my family's been busy.
A veteran uncle.
Veteran indeed. Yeah, that's true actually. I was only like 12 when my first nephew was born. That this show is about you, so I sure that can wait till next year. The tale of Rob and the five, five uncles, whatever. Oh man,
he's got five uncles, or you're an uncle five times.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. Thank you for saving me from my own stupidity.
No problem.
I've been doing that all year.
So that's it, really. So, yeah, shall we skip to the end? Or
no, let's talk. That's done. It's over. Thanks for listening.
Skip to the end.
Where did you audition?
So I auditioned for Royal Academy.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go there for some reason. And I remember only auditioning there the first year. Because I kind of wanted to take a gap year. But I thought, if I get in, then obviously I'll go. So I auditioned there, and I got the reserve spot. So I thought, might stand a chance next year. So I remember being like, cool, I'll take a gap year. And then auditioned to Trinity Guildhall and Academy again the next year, and got into Academy. So I was very chuffed.
I think a lot of people... Do you think it's true that a lot of people get in on the second time?
I mean, I was so much better the second time.
Oh, maybe that's why. Because I just like to think that they like to see people have the perseverance to go away and do some work. Because I know James Gardner-Bateman, alto player, he auditioned 3 times.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's that. They want to see someone really driven to want to achieve it.
Yeah.
It's going to make a better student, I'd think. I don't know. You'd have to ask Nick Smart.
Very true.
I just did a lot of practice while I was in the gap. Yeah, I got like a part-time job at school and then just practiced and went to Charlie Wright's every single week and Ronnie Scott's jam sessions all the time.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was a good time of life, actually.
Yeah, there's a... It's an intense scene to try and do what you've just described. You need to have a lot of time and a lot of energy because it just tends to all... I'm just too old, Dan. It's all too late for me. My God.
Oh, wow. You've peaked, Rob.
Oh, big time. I peaked a long time ago. I'm normally asleep before the Ronnie's jam even starts.
Yeah. Well, I remember, when I was back when I was 18, we used to... had some friends who weren't musicians, but they would love coming to Charlie Wright's. And we would...
Yeah.
I'd go to bed and then wake up around midnight, and then we'd leave my house in North London about 1:15 and wouldn't get there about 1, and it wouldn't have even started.
Yeah.
And then we just, I still remember the first time walking in. I'd just done a gig with someone and he told me about it. So we went and it was full of smoke, just full of smoke. Couldn't see.
Yeah.
More than a few meters.
No, I smoking remember, ban.
Yeah, this was back when I was 17 or something. So, yeah, it was, I remember Xenia, remember seeing Xenia and just being like, what is this?
This is dude.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is intense and cool. And yeah, it was great. But I remember I probably, there's one when I first met Richard Turner, I think he used to absolutely hate me.
Nice.
Him and Josh Morrison, I think, were just...
Why, because you were at every single
jam. I came every week. They were always playing. And I was really crap, Rob. I was so bad. I didn't know any tunes. I could barely play. Like, the bass that they would have was such high action. I was, like, 17, 18. I was, terrible. And I used to just play. I remember they would just shout at me. And get so annoyed at me because I would mess up. I'd get lost or I'd mess up a tune. But I loved it. It was a good roast.
Wow.
It was fun, though. But, I probably really did annoy them.
Well, that's the best way to learn.
Josh. Yeah, I see.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But Charlie Wright's was where I kind of learned what being a musician was, really.
Yeah. Who was hosting that jam?
So, originally, it was Xenia.
Yeah.
Who hosted it. And then I remember I met Mike Wenzo.
Yeah.
At it. And
he lives in New York now.
Yeah, singer. He's moved to New York, yeah.
I saw him supporting Joe Lovano last year.
Oh, I would love to have seen that.
It was really cool. It was outside. And it was just one of those really light times when you're so envious of New York because the gig, it was outdoors in like Williamsburg and it was absolutely packed. But not just jazz fans, just the whole community. People just come and see it,
Yeah.
In a way that, it's very, very accessible. Anyway,
he was fantastic. Actually, it was really great to meet him. So whenever I would see him, he'd just be so encouraging. and like tell me I sounded great, and would ask, tell me the people to check out, and just was really interested in, like, you know, helping.
Yeah.
Helping me learn. So yeah. That was great. And then, yeah, I used to go along to Ronnie Scott's jam sessions, which he would host.
Yeah.
They were some of the best nights ever, like upstairs at Ronnie's. It's just so good. Like, yeah, you'd get all the American musicians would stop over, and UK musicians would come up after their set.
Yeah.
And then I would usually be sitting in with them. That was a great experience, playing with some of those people. But yeah, no, that was great fun.
And you used to, somebody described you to me once as like that you were an absolute phenomenon when you were at Academy, and that, because I wasn't there when you started, but someone painted the picture to me of like, they were like, Kit Downs and James Madger and those guys always wanted to play with Dan. They absolutely loved him.
Oh, I don't know about that, but
that's a direct
quote
from,
I loved playing with them. For me, you always wanted to play with people better than me. And yeah. That was the, it sucked, but also was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. I did a couple of gigs with them, which were really great nights, actually.
Yeah, I bet they were. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And then, but now you're working full time as a magician.
Yeah, it's funny how things go. So if people have been listening to this, probably I hurt my back when I was in third year.
Did you do something, or was it just kind of a chronic injury that came
on? So it's a chronic injury, really. I've always kind of had these aches that would come when I would play, but it kind of just, I was playing so much at Academy, especially third year. That's when I wanted to get really serious, at the end of second year.
Yeah.
But it just got worse and worse and worse, and I just started associating pain with music.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing. If anyone else has had that. Yeah, so you just start to not like playing, and then it just hurts to practice, and you get really frustrated, and got really depressed, actually, to be honest, not realizing I couldn't play and wanted to finish my degree and be a musician. So it kind of really sucked.
Yeah.
It really sucked. But yeah, I remember I was doing a function, and probably in second year, and saw a magician at an event and decided to like just do it on the side for fun. But then as more and more, as the pain got worse and realized I wasn't going to be able to be a musician and didn't really like teaching that much, thought I'd try and be a magician.
Man.
Quite funny, isn't it?
It's incredible that that
closes and then one door opens.
Well, this is the part of the story that is most fascinating, is that you took an event in your life that you could have easily let it just knock you off the rails for a few years, and you know, just like
just, it definitely knocked me for a while. I think I handled it as well as I could have done, I think.
Absolutely, because you just, I mean, you've got a very obsessive personality anyway, but to aim it so quickly at something else and throw yourself in wholeheartedly. Because about the time I got to Academy, I don't think we met in the first few months for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then when we did meet, it was through Jake Walker, who's now working full-time as a freelance cameraman. And Jake's first ever words to me was, "You've got to meet Dan because he's got a PS3.
Yeah.
And and you and Jake were playing Black Ops every night. And then, So our relationship grew not out of music ever, but out of just playing PlayStation.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Oh my goodness. And then of course, I remember once we went for a drink, and as you were getting into the magic, we were sitting in the bar downstairs in the Academy. And then there's the glass double doors through to where people would eat. And Dan took a card out of his wallet and just said, "Rob, will you go grab this card for me?" And you threw it, and it stuck to the glass of the double doors. And I was like, "Yeah, no problem," you know, thinking the magic was that it was stuck. And when I went to get it, it was stuck to the other side of the glass. I had to open the doors to get the card back. And at that point, I was like, it's just like you to decide to be good at something, but then to immediately do it to such a high level. You know, well, I remember you making Julian Arguiles like squeal when you did, you know, that.
Yeah.
It was like foam bunnies coming out of his socks.
Yeah, I think that's where being a musician really helped, in that for a few reasons. One, I was really good at using my hands, and, you know, able to control my fingers, you know,
yeah,
just on a dexterity thing. Yeah. This, the other reason, though, I was just used to practicing something,
yeah,
intently,
yeah,
and for hours on my own, you know,
yeah,
and so I would sit and just do the same move for 3 hours whilst watching a film till I, you know, every day, and then would get it. I think the hardest bit, though, was the hardest bit about being a magician, although this is weird, isn't it? We're talking on a music podcast about being a magician. The hardest bit is being a double bass player. I'm at the back of a band next to the drummer. Don't say anything, really. And then all of a sudden I've got to go and talk to strangers.
Yeah.
And perform. That was the hardest bit to learn.
How do you learn that? Do you just like the jam sessions? Do you just start going out and doing it?
Yeah, I would do it at bars.
Yeah, well, doing
at
all your
Academy
tricks.
Bar.
You've just brought back another memory. Oh my god, this is like I've just been rewatching Harry Potter. You know, they keep watching all those memories of Voldemort as a kid. But so you're doing this to me. We went out for a drink one night. You, me, Tom Taylor, John Ormston, Jack Davies. We went to that lovely pub in Marylebone Street.
Oh, yeah.
What was that one called?
The Marylebone.
Surprise, surprise. Or was it the Angel?
Oh, yeah, the one further down, yeah.
Yeah, the one further
Sam
down.
Smith one.
We're in the Angel, and you told us that you were going to propose to Lydia.
Oh, yeah.
While we were having a drink, and we were all, like, shaking hands and hugging. It was beautiful. Yeah. Such a great... It was the first night of my life where I was like, we're men. We're, like, becoming adults. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah, and that was a good time.
Then the cards came out, and we were, like, at the bar. And I don't know. Tom Taylor, he's a pianist. He's very persuasive. Sorry, so many stories about Tom clogging my brain. I'll stay on the point. Tom's at the bar saying to the barmaid, oh, you got to let this guy do a trick on you. And she's going, no, no, no. And you're going, no, I'm not doing a trick. And Tom's going, come on. What's the problem with you both? And he's like, being Tom, he forces you to do a trick on this woman against her will as well.
Yeah.
Fast forward 10 minutes, they've locked the pub and we're the only five left inside, and it's free whiskey for everyone.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a great night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had just become an instant cult hero, and just by association, just by being with you, we were cool too.
Yeah.
It felt very good.
That used to really annoy me, actually, that, you know, I was there doing a degree 4 years Academy on an instrument I've been learning since, you know, 5-6 years, and music I've been learning for 10 years, whatever. And, you know, at the end of a jazz gig, you get like the five or six people that are in the audience, you know. You know. And then, you know, I've been learning magic for maybe, you know, some of the tricks I do, I learned them last week. But yeah, say I've been learning for a year, and then the reaction you get to doing the simplest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It used to frustrate me so much. But, you know, you can be learning something for 15 years and you get no appreciation. And then all of a sudden you learn this one little simple thing.
Yeah.
And people lose it.
Yeah.
It's still a frustration of mine.
Yeah. There's some great videos on your website of people who are absolutely losing it over the, you know, over what you're showing them.
It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
How do you learn, like, where do you even find the tricks to begin with? Because that seems like a big stumbling block to me, because it's nobody wants to say ever how a trick is done. Not like a standard where you can just download the iReel book and off you go.
Yeah, I guess a lot of books, everything's really written down is how it's shared.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd get a couple of like card trick books, and then you'd learn some of the moves and the ideas. But I mean, there's not that many things to learn.
Yeah.
There's kind of a limited amount. I mean, I think there's a limited amount of stuff, and you don't need to know a lot of it to then create or be able to do different routines and tricks. There's like a limited amount of stuff.
Something you'd think up yourself where you'd be like, hey, this would be cool?
To a certain extent, yes. Yeah, it does. Like, there's some magicians, they just come up with tricks, they don't perform.
Right.
They think and create
it. Oh, I see what you mean.
Like a composer wouldn't necessarily be a... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they just would... They come up with a lot of new stuff. Actually, my friend Mark... he does that. He performs as well, but he is he's a programmer, computer programmer, did computer science at uni, but then is a magician. So he's kind of combined them and makes these awesome apps, essentially, yeah. Magic apps. But they're so well done that you don't even think that they're an app. It just seems like you could go on your phone.
Yeah.
So you'd get out your phone, you'd Google something, and you'd choose something on that page. And then he would know what you've chosen.
Right.
Just through some insane development. Anyway, yeah. A little bit of coming up with stuff. I mean, I'm starting to get to the stage now where I know a bit more. So I'm kind of being able to think, oh, that would work well with this, or I'll move that. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So here we are now, running a jazz podcast.
Yeah.
As you said at the start, really for social reasons. The whole thing came about, oddly, as a result of your back injury. Because if you were still playing full-time, you'd never have felt the need to want to start one, because you'd still be in that social scene anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of... Now that when I graduated, I kind of left music entirely, I'd probably say. I think I did maybe one gig a year.
Yeah, that's about what I'm pushing at the moment.
Yes. So I kind of like was, obviously I've been associating it with pain. So I think now there's been enough time. I'm now trying to think, how can I do music without playing the double bass?
Right.
Because people would always say, why don't you play bass guitar? But double bass players all know, you fall in love with the double bass.
Yeah.
I don't love the bass guitar.
No, I'd feel that way if someone told me to have the rest of my career on the flute.
So I've been trying to find ways of doing music without doing music.
Yeah.
Which is where the idea of doing this came about.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've started is a little website teaching music theory.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. HelloMusicTheory.com. Is that
HelloMusicTheory.com, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just make worksheets and practice exams for the ABRSM syllabus. And I'm going to start teaching it and do videos next, I think. So, because I don't really like teaching one-on-one. Oh, I did. When you got a great student, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
This is perfect. But all the ones that just wouldn't work, I hated.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm just going to teach it, but without having any pupils there.
That's nice.
That's my idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy doing that. And
that's really cool, that Hello Music Theory thing.
I enjoy it.
And that, how do you grow that? I mean, what can you do?
That's the question, isn't it? How can you get
it? Is it all online?
It's all online.
Right.
And it's all PDF.
Right.
Out. So I kind of don't want to be worrying about having stock and books, actual physical books.
Well, because they go out of date, I guess, as well as the syllabus changes.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that was the thing. I finished a load of my practice papers, which
change this year?
Yeah, it changed this year, Rob. So I'd spent probably about 4 months putting them together, and I finished the last one, and I did all the answers for them. And then someone emailed saying, oh, well, these cover the syllabus for 2018. I was like, what? Oh, man, that was so frustrating.
Have you redone? Yeah, I can imagine.
I have now redone them all, but it probably took another 3 months to change it.
Oh, that's horrible. I guess theory doesn't change as much. So hopefully that'll be it for a while.
Well, I'm hoping it will be it for a while, yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
I feel guilty for not having pushed more of my students on it. and Rob, my schools for that matter. Because
You need to.
Yeah, I might do that this morning. You know, fire out a few emails.
Thanks, Rob.
You know, I got some. I got friends in high places.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple of couple of examiners that I work with in the week that probably be very curious.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my pitch for them. I think the reason why they're good is, whereas if you buy like a book, you can use it once and then it's you have to buy a new one. Whereas for teachers, you can just you get the files, so just print them out as many times as you want.
Yeah.
With all your students, happy days.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It's a genius idea.
Mm. I mean, it's not making very much money, so it's not really a genius idea. But I think, in answer to the question to grow it, I'm going to do a load of videos. I haven't done any videos yet.
Yeah.
I think that will hopefully reach some more people.
Yeah.
And I'd actually, at the moment, I'm not teaching it. I'm just kind of making the worksheets and stuff. But
would you teach it?
Well, that's what I think I'm going to do on the videos. My idea, and someone's going to steal this now, but to be honest, at least someone will be doing it. I'm going to do it this year, is to do 1 minute music theory where I teach something in a minute.
Really that fun. Sounds awesome.
Just kind of explain time signatures in 1 minute.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite good. Yeah. Maybe it would be terrible.
No, it sounds great. It's such a good idea.
Maybe a bit of animation going on. And,
ooh. Yeah.
And I'll just speak really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you a cop. I'll send you my ideas when I've got one out.
Oh, man. It sounds incredible.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's wrapped it up, has it?
That is.
Talking about me now.
Here we are. It's amazing, the thing about the pod, because, you know, I'd been sitting on this idea that Ben Lloyd Evans and Will Green and Ben Cashel, formerly of the band Feldspar, is now a band called 1,000 Things. But Ben said to me back in 2009, you should do a web like a series called Tea and Drive, Rob. You know, George just bit me. Okay, Christ, the perks of having your own recording studio for a podcast. cat that would just nibble. Anyway, Ben said to me in 2009, you should do this show called Tea and Drive, where you just get a cup of tea and you drive around and you talk to people. And since the day he'd said it, it like stuck with me. It's like one day, and even the year before we started the jazz podcast, I emailed a load of people saying like, I'm going to make Tea and Drive. Do you want to be involved? You know, and then one day I had Stan Saltzman in my car and I was like, oh my God, I need to be making this show. And then John Halliwell, we went on a beer run together in my, he has an amazing like Bentley Continental.
Oh, wow.
Of which a service costs five figures.
I bet it does.
And John and I went out one day and he was like, oh, let's go in the Micra, you know, and he like squeezes in the passenger seat. Of course, we both have Micras. That's the official car of the jazz podcast.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But the Tea and Drive thing, I never really got to the point where I acknowledged to myself openly that it was the video content that was stopping me doing it. Just actually the logistics of like multi dash cams and the cost involved and the editing involved. And then
the editing, isn't it?
My God, the editing. I mean, that this film about Richard Turner.
I bet it is.
I'm editing an hour a day and I'm not even denting the footage. Mm. Anyway, then we were having that coffee and you came in on the Find My Friends app.
Yeah.
And when you said to me, let's start a podcast, my whole life just made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? So I'd had the idea. I've been listening to podcasts for a while now.
I was really obsessed with them as well.
Yeah. And so really wanted to do one. And it'd been on my mind. And I was thinking, oh, I'd love to do one on jazz, because I was trying to think of ways to do music without doing music, like I said. I was like, who would do it with me? I originally thought Ruben Fowler.
Yeah, and Ruben would be great, but
he would be great.
Get one show a year.
But yeah, I mean, he knows he'd be the first to admit it. He is useless at organizing things and being, I was like, oh, Rob would be great, wouldn't he? Because we were playing loads of PlayStation.
Of course.
And then you'd had the idea as well. So it was like match made.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
You know from the PlayStation headset how much I like the sound of my own voice. And the rest was history.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, those meetings led to this monstrosity.
Yeah, that's it.
It is this unfortunate show.
Well, who'd have thought it? We've thought it up over a year ago. There's some 50-something shows, 12,000 downloads. It's been quite a year.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, what are you doing tonight, Rob?
Tonight? Probably watch Harry Potter again.
We're doing Christmas drinks this tonight, which is where we did our original... our little preview video last year.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I do. Of course. Yeah. I haven't left the house in about 5 days due to the health situation.
Oh, of course. Well, if you feel like it, come down.
All right. Well, that's very kind of you. I do remember that incredible trailer we made with a glass of wine.
Oh, yeah.
That was a beauty. The start of next year, with any luck, and don't hold me to this because you know how these things go. Lizzie Excel, Femi Colioso, Yaz Ahmed.
Oh, Femi, he was at Infogrammar. I used to teach him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My God, that's incredible.
He was great. I used to teach his brother bass guitar and then run the jazz band that he played in.
Wow, that's
yeah,
so
he
cool.
He was so good. Love Femi.
Well, maybe great. You should ask him. Cause,
I'll ask him. Have you asked him?
No, I've got his number.
Great.
Due to... the, you know, my inability to really do anything. I've not even written a text yet.
No.
Yeah, so we got some...
Sorry, Femi, Lizzie.
Yaz. Yep. Daisy Chute. Sheila, Maurice Gray. There's, what else have we got here? Five potential guests seems like enough at once. Normally what happens is... Oh, I asked Peter Lee as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because he texted me the other day a photo of him. He didn't. There was no words. I hadn't spoke to him for several months. But actually, I'm going to describe this photo to you because I still have it. Okay, so I'm looking at. He sent me a picture of a conveyor belt. You know, in like a Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Four potatoes, one carrot, about 50 million green beans. Diced beef, mushrooms, two onions, garlic, red pepper, Coltman's cottage pie mix, and Gran Turismo Sport for PS4.
Nice.
No words required. Oh, there it sent me a text that then said, "Oh God, this took about 20 minutes to buy. Convenience buy, not so much."
Yeah.
Excellent social interaction.
Very good.
Yeah, so that seems like enough to qualify for a visit.
Definitely.
The jazz podcast.
Definitely.
So apologies, Pete, but, you know, that's just kind of pulled back the curtain on how you like to live your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so have a nice Christmas.
You too, mate.
And to the listeners as well, of course. And we'll be back I don't know, the 4th of January.
It's my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, let's do another show all about you. Birthday show. Yay.
We'll do the 2 weeks in between since my birthday.
This
what we're going
to
do.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh,
Christmas review show.
Oh, man. Our broadcasting is really going downhill, isn't it? Oh, we're losing you, Rob. We're losing you.
It's over. It's over. Farewell, everyone.
Right, let's put this episode to bed.
It's been a pleasure.
Ciao.
Farewell.
So I think that'll probably only get about 5 listens, will it?
I reckon it'll break double figures.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure about that.
Do you know, I was just thinking about what's the least listened to show ever.
Well, it's going to be that.
Well, yeah, we might say.
Oh, you're agreeing? No.
No, I don't think it will be.
Oh, dear.
It's weird. There's no correlation that I can see. Actually, generally, the correlation seems to be that the younger guests get more listens.
Right. Oh, no, I've just seen who oh.
Mm. But we've got nothing. I mean, even the lowest ones are very high. So
I don't know who the lowest one is. I don't know what that is. I haven't even listened to that episode.
No, I'm not gonna shame it. But you'd be surprised.
We should do another competition.
Oh, yes, of course. We did one, didn't we, for the highest ranked show. 10 grand
for one. Did anyone write in for that?
No.
No, of course they didn't.
What was the question again?
Can't remember.
Oh, do I? No, I can't.
It's quite easy, though.
Oh, I know what I wanted to say to you. There's a show of us two playing on, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah.
When you came round.
I came round and we reviewed that plastic saxophone and we played a tune together.
Yeah, that was my last gig.
That was my last gig too. I could remember what show it was, I tell you, but I really cannot. Hey, did you see you two at Abbey Road the other day?
Oh, I didn't know.
On the BBC.
Was I supposed to?
No, but Tom Corley's on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like playing with you two. It's really sick. It's on iPlayer at the moment.
Oh, I'll check it out.
There's one song about halfway through that's like a full-on piano intro. It's beautiful.
Mm. Oh, great. I'll check it out. Oh, one thing I found this week was a band called Scary Pockets. Have you come across them?
No, what is it?
So they do little funk arrangements of pop songs and like proper pop songs. So they do, let me put it on, see if you can you hear this? Well, oh, we won't. It's in my headphones. Okay, I'll send you a link.
All right. Wait, have you got an iPhone handy?
Oh, I've got an iPhone handy.
Play it on your iPhone and hold it up to the microphone, because then myself...
I sent you a link to your iPhone.
All right, sick. It didn't work. I tried to do this the other week. Do you remember? Can you try it? Can you hit play?
I'll try. Yeah, let me try.
With your iPhone, up to your microphone. Crank it up.
Okay, bear with.
Yeah. Oh my god, that sounds incredible. Oh yeah.
Candlelight and soul forever, a dream of you and me together. Say you believe it. Say you believe it. Free your mind of doubt and
you know what song this is? It'll come to you shortly.
Come a little bit closer, baby. Get it on.
Oh, lovely.
Spice Girls, mate. Right?
Yeah, who are these people?
Check this out. They're great. They're called Scary Pockets.
Wow. Do you know them?
The bassist is... it's two guys who run it. And then they get in guest musicians and a guest singer on every single one.
Amazing.
The bassist is the bassist from Noah, Sam Wilkes.
Do you think we'll go to jail for playing that on air?
No, I don't think so. Do you think are we on air? Are we recording this bit?
Well,
this is an outro.
Well, by outro, that still means it'll get played.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Let's put it out there.
Mm.
And if they come after us...
Well, everyone, go listen to Scary Pockets.
Yeah.
They are... I've got a lot of great tunes.
Yeah.
Great musicians.
Yeah.
Ryan Lerman, he's the guy who runs it. I came across him from Wolfpack. He was in a... Wolfpack did one of his covers, his songs.
Oh, sweet.
Have you checked out Wolfpack?
Nope.
Oh, you've got to check out Wolfpack.
I've got work to do.
Favourite band.
Sweet.
Anyway, check them out this week. I recommend Scary Pockets.
Okay, great. That's it. Off we go, everyone.
Yeah. Have you got any recommendations for music?
Ooh.
Christmas
Drive Home. Well, my recommendation would be that you listen to the entire Jazz Podcast back catalogue. Start with Stan Saltzman and go all the way through. Yeah, that's all I ever do. To relax in my spare time, I listen to old episodes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Very good. Cool, man.
Yeah, sweet. All right, nice work.
Well, I'll have a good day.
Yeah, you too, lads. I'll speak to you soon.